How's everybody doing? All right, woo! Thanks for coming out, guys. I'm Eli. I'm the Associate Director in charge of IT and production here at the Ann Arbor District Library. And before we get started, I just want to let you know about a couple other things we got going on this weekend and coming on into the month of July. Tomorrow, right here in this room, we've got MC Frontalot. He's going to be doing a Q&A and introducing his film, Nerdcore Rising, about his first tour. So that's a great film. He's also a fantastic musician, so he'll be in here tomorrow. Then Monday night at Top of the Park, it's video game night featuring these guys, the 1UPs, performance by MC Frontalot, and the film is The King of Kong, which is a movie about the Donkey Kong high score contest. Going on at that time, we'll also have a Super Smash Brothers Brawl tournament and a Donkey Kong high score contest. So it'll all be going on Top of the Park Monday night, weather permitting. So I also want to let you know, we also here at the library do a lot of different video game tournaments and events. We do them roughly once a month. Our next tournament weekend is the weekend of July 19th. We've got a Rock Revolution, Rock Band, and DDR tournament. We've got the Smash Kart preseason event, which is a combination Super Smash Brothers and Mario Kart tournament. And then on Sunday of that week, we have, I don't remember what the event is on that Sunday, but I'm sure it's, what? Oh, right, it's All Ages Mario Kart, which is Sunday, I believe that's the 20th of July. So all that stuff is coming up. We got a bunch of brochures on the table on your way out. And with that, it is my pleasure to introduce a really kick-ass bunch of guys who do some really great music and some fantastic tributes to video game music of the past. They're going to play some music. We're going to take some questions. Should be a pretty cool event. So please join me in welcoming the 1UPs.
Is that your phone?
Yes.
Do you need to take a call right now?
Yeah, what now?
Huh?
You turned yours off too, weren't
you? No. I was checking my Facebook.
You ready?
Hey everybody, how you doing? Good. We're the 1UPs, and we play some covers of popular tunes. Like this one right here. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, I forgot to mention that popular music that we cover is video game music.
So I thought that we would also just kind of mix this in with some questions, because this is kind of a unique environment, unique atmosphere. You don't often get to find out much about the band during a show. So just kind of start off, Mustin, why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, how the 1UPS came to be what it is now?
Well, I played some video games when I was younger, my younger days. Still do sometimes. And I thought it would be cool. Back in 2000, there were a couple of video game cover bands, the Mini Bosses and the Advantage. It's probably like four, and they all did rock. And so I wanted to do something that was different, because video game music isn't a genre so much as it is an all-encompassing genre, because you can hear metal in video game music, like in what's that guitar game with the no, the one, Guilty Gear. Yeah. It's not really a guitar game, is it? There might be a couple of guitars in it. And then there's, you know, like all the Latin and Calypso stuff that's in the Mario games, and then there's, you know, orchestral stuff that you'll hear in Final Fantasy games and stuff. So a lot of different genres, and there wasn't a good venue or a good band that did all of that stuff. There's some great rock bands, but... And then William and I kind of got this thing going way back in the day. He said, let's play this tune from Mario Kart that I like. And I said, okay. And we did. And then we had some people that decided to do it with us. And then over the years and some different members and whatnot, kind of ended up with what we have now. Except we normally have a sax player and keyboard player, but he got married and this month. And I mean, that's not the end of him, you know. He's just really busy. It could be. But he's got to, like, you know, start his job and go on a honeymoon and, you know, have fun. And so we asked our friend Kunal to come in and play keys for us, who is single. And but, yeah, so we just, it was great that it, when it started off, we had some people that weren't 100% video game, and then now everybody here is plays some games. So it's all for the love of it, from the fans, for the fans.
How do you decide what songs you want to take on?
Well, earlier on, it was just me spouting out orders. I've always wanted to hear this one tune from Mario Paint. Let's play it.
Okay.
But now everybody has a say, and that's really cool. So everybody gets to pick their own favorites. William really likes Castlevania and stuff, and Tim really likes Castlevania and stuff, and Jared likes to play Frogger, and... I play a lot of Mario and Final Fantasy because I'm really awesome and not a nerd at all. So we just pick it by nostalgia, basically. Sometimes we go for, like, you know, we sell out and we play that one, you know, really popular tune that everybody wants to hear. But for the most part, it's nostalgia.
So are you saying that the Super Mario Brothers original theme song is the free bird of the video game music scene?
It is, yeah. I think I said that a long time ago, and... I mean, everybody always yells out, play Super Mario. You do the underground thing because nobody else really does that, and that's fun. But the main theme is just play Free Bird.
Do you find that there's a, of the video game composers who have appeared on, you know, multiple titles, do you find that there's composers you keep coming back to again and again?
Definitely keep coming back to Koji Kondo, who wrote Mario and Zelda and some other various stuff. He's definitely one of the best. The Konami team, which consists of several slightly anonymous people, the Kahoot Club, who does their stuff, and Nobuo Uematsu, anything from the early Final Fantasies, he did, of course. So that's all, you know, thousands of tunes. Anybody else? I don't know. Yeah, and the guys that do Mega Man, we love them. This gentleman has a question.
Yes.
I'm a former high school musician.
Yeah.
Played an instrument that you don't have in your band, unfortunately, a cornet.
Oh, yeah. You're missing that.
My question is whether your band or any other band is associated with a video game that could be both viewed as entertainment, education, and culture. All in one, including educational background on the music and or if there are any video games that encourage the gamester to engage in musical composition.
That's a cool question. I think all of us are high school band rats. I know I was. I mean, I wasn't in my normal classes. I was mostly in the band room most of the time. Games like that are cool because I only like to do music. I didn't really like anything else except for girls and food. So I would sit there and play video games when I wasn't at school. And Mario Paint has a really awesome composer in it. And I spent a lot of time in that. It's pretty basic. You don't have a lot of, you know, choices to work with. But as far as, like, straight-up educational and fun games, I mean, they have that Wii Music, but it's not terribly educational as far as I know. And I despise Guitar Hero, but it does get people interested in actually learning in Rock Band. You know, I know people that will go and play drums because they play drums in Rock Band. So there's some stuff out there. I wish there was some more, for sure. Some games that were educational and fun. And the culture thing is very interesting because there's a lot of culture of music that you can add, you know. But I hope that sort of answered your question.
If I can pick up on that for just a minute, actually, Tom, I think
I was going to say that we used to have a trumpet player, but we don't anymore. Just throwing that out there. Yeah. Oh, of course. Did you bring your cornet by chance? Okay.
Well, I think one of the things is that also for our generation, you know, a lot of the things that we've learned have been through games that aren't educational by nature. And I think that a lot of people that grew up playing video games learned more from the games that weren't educational than from the ones that weren't supposed to be educational. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's much more about how you approach a problem. And that's really what you learn out of video games. So you guys want to play some more for us?
Yeah, let's play some more. Thank you.
Well, one question that I kind of had is, what's the environment that you guys are playing into? You know, like, what are the places that you, you know, play the music? And, you know, you talked about, you know, you said earlier that you work on some of the songs when you play gigs at bars and that kind of thing. And, you know, what, and tell us about, like, what the one-ups are up to.
Were we playing most?
Yeah.
Dingy bars, I guess. Sometimes at functions where we really have no purpose. Like we played at a single parent scholarship foundation fund that we had in our local community, and we live in Fayetteville, Arkansas, so we're close to the headquarters of Walmart, the largest company in the world, so we have a lot of millionaires. And so we're sitting there eating this steak dinner, and this woman is talking about how, you know, the single parent scholarship foundation helped her become a doctor, which is awesome, and so was the steak. And then we went into another room, and there was an open bar, and then we sat there and played, and these women come up and be like, oh, I love your music. It's so sophisticated. You should play at my son's wedding. He's going to love it. But they had no idea what we were playing. It's like, yeah, that was Koopa Beach from Super Mario Kart. And only one kid that was there, he was working at the bar, and he came over, and he's like, hey, did you guys just play the Legend of Zelda theme? And I just went, yeah. So he knew it was up. And then afterwards, there was a lot of beer left over, and they gave it all to us. So that's the kind of gigs that we play. And then sometimes we play, like, big conventions and anime conventions and video game conventions and conventional conventions.
Can you tell us a little bit about the PAX experience?
The PAX experience, it's, like, awesome, mostly, with a little radness peppered in. In a big, beautiful stew. It's awesome, you know, having 7,000 people screaming because they love what you're doing, not at you, but with you. That's really great, playing on stage with a lot of, sharing the stage with a lot of awesome talent also is really cool, and just having, you know, fans come out and be like, hey, I really like that Star Fox tune that you played. And I was like, yeah, I love playing that too when I was a kid, and being able to talk to people that, you know, get to share it, you know, because, you know, the wino at the you know, banquet thing, she didn't play Star Fox. And if she did, then she should have talked about it, but she didn't. So it's cool to connect with people that are like-minded. I guess not so much like-minded, it's just like have the same kind of interests.
Yeah, and, you know, it's part of what's interesting about this because, you know, in the 80s, you didn't play video games. You played Nintendo.
Right.
You know, like that's what it was, and it had like this kind of universality about all those titles. Do you think that the music of today's games are going to be as beloved by, you know, people like this when they're in their 30s as this music is now?
I think so. I mean, there's just so many awesome compositions that are being made. Now, a lot of it tends to gravitate towards background ambiance now, because back in the days of Bomberman, you know, you got all this stuff blowing up, but it's an 8-bit, and it's not the most visually appealing thing in the world, so you got to have good music in the background. That was the challenge. That was, you know, keep the player, you know, going.
and have that music that really drove it, even though it was, you know, a little chip tune. But I mean, we play the theme of God of War, and you know, there's a piece from Gears of War I'd like to do, and various other of war games. And I think that good music is good music, and if people play it and it's part of their nostalgia, then yeah. There's a young woman back here that has a question.
My question is just about how you go about arranging the songs, and because it seems like, especially for some of the older music, there'd be a lot more room for artistic license in interpreting from kind of the plinky sounds to a full band.
You said some of the older, like,
or like the things that sound kind of like plinky and digital. Like,
oh, the little bleeps and bloops.
Yeah, so to turn that into like a whole
band sound,
yeah. Like how do you go about arranging?
How do we go about doing that?
Yeah.
It involves a very, very hot garage and Coronas.
I mean, like, do you try to stay more true to like what it sounds like, or do you take more? Are you trying to interpret it more?
It just depends. Sometimes, like with certain tunes, it's that kind of thing. You know that, or you don't know, but you really think he was writing like this hardcore rock song, so you really rock it out. And then some of them you can hear like the style in what would be a piano. It's doing like a Latin thing. It's like, that's a Latin groove. Jared, play a Latin groove, yeah. And so we kind of do it sometimes, but then sometimes we just want to go kind of nuts with it. I hope that one day we can have like something like this, except even bigger, and then on TV, and people will just be there because we're that big and awesome, and they'll ask. And we can just say, name out a genre, and we'll play the Sonic song in whatever genre someone says, because it's just such a cool tune. But it really grooves in that kind of style that we just played earlier. But we've done it in so many different ways, just screwing around in the garage. So sometimes we try to stay, you know, to the source, and sometimes we just like to go nuts.
Yeah, are you guys influenced at all, or participating?
We're heavily under the influence.
Yeah, do you guys participate at all in like OC Remix or sites like that that do stuff like that, kind of just more straight up rearranging? But
OC Remix.
Yeah, stuff like that. Have you
oh,
heard of it?
Yeah, oh. That site, I have like 20 remixes on there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's not only does this band, well, let me start over. I have a video game music label called 1UP Studios. And we've done a lot of arranged albums of video games, musics, and continue to do so. And then I've got friends that's kind of like a remixer troupe that we think we're cool. We call ourselves the Bad Dudes, and we do different arrangements, like just call something out. Like recently, Kunal had the idea to, hey, let's take that theme, Sagat's music from Street Fighter II, and let's just make a whole album of that. So he did a rockin' one. I did one that sounded like Sade, like some smooth jazz stuff. And then the other guy did one that sounded like a crazy piano waltz. But it was all the same theme, so it's just something to kind of like challenge ourselves. So sometimes that's what we do, like in front of the computer in our boxer shorts when no one's around. But as a band, it's a whole different thing. So yeah, I do a lot of OC remixes. Kunal has done several OC remixes, you know, collaborating with people all over the world, which is pretty fun. And we've made a little dent, I think, in the scene, as it were. So we're out there. You have a question, sir? Mr. Nate? Yeah. We usually just, do we transcribe the music ourselves, is what he asked. And we do just sit there and we'll listen to the original game music file. Just kind of listen to it on loop and figure out where we're going to be. Like, okay, well, I'm obviously going to take the low part and figure out where that root note is. And then these guys figure some stuff out, and Jared comes up with what's going to be the best thing for it. And sometimes on top of some of the tougher stuff, to save time, one of us will just do it and bring in like a lead sheet. Like, okay, here's what the chords are and here's the melody. Let's do it bossa nova style, and we'll just do that. So yeah, we do transcribe it, or we just learn it by ear. Mostly just learn it by ear. So let's play this one tune, and we'll get to this guy's question. Hold on to it. Don't let go. Thank you. With your dreams. This is a little obscure, but maybe you'll get it. This says that we have stuff for sale. It's going to be, we're playing on Monday at the top of the park, so it's going to be at the Top Shop. We just got in not too long ago, and boy, are ours tired. So we also lost a bag with a bunch of our merchandise. But we do have some t-shirts and our first CD here for sale if anybody wants one whenever we're done. Let's get his question, and then we're going to play another one, and we'll do like a little lightning round.
I was curious what your guys' thoughts were on where video games fit in sort of the grand scheme of art. Does it deserve, you know, recognition? And there may be, I feel like there's a generational gap where you see some people, they have art classified as something you can put in a frame and something you can hang up on, like in a museum. I'm just curious what your guys' thoughts are.
Well, have you played Ico? Shadow of the Colossus? I mean, there's some really amazing games that, I mean, some I've heard some critic who was dumb said the video games aren't art and he should get a good kick to the jugular. Definitely art. I mean, just right here with the music, I mean, it's just amazing. But there's some really, really cool shows in some of the bigger urban cities like LA and New York where they have like some shows like focused on music where they have like chiptune shows and they got guys coming from like Norway and all this whole tracker scene of people that make music using numbers and man, it sounds just like, or using a Game Boy, like hack a Game Boy and use that and make music with it, original stuff that wasn't from a video game, and it's amazing. But then also there's a lot of really awesome like fan artwork that like you can go to a gallery and they had a Street Fighter show recently when Street Fighter 4 came out, and I mean just like the most amazing, you know, like portrait of like Ryu, and then like really really like cute chibi versions of Chun-Li and like pixelated versions of all the kids. So there's like really cool, like I think, yeah, my house I have like some magnets that some girl used, like little beads, and kind of recreated the pixels of the 16-bit characters real up close, and they're on my fridge. And so I mean that in itself is a work of art and like sort of twofold, but somebody think of another question, and we're going to play another tune real quick. Yeah. think we're going to finish this out, and then we'll do the questions for time purposes. You think so? All right, let's rock out.
Jackson.
was awesome. Do we got, what's our time?
10 minutes.
We can do it? Sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I actually have. I did a Game Boy Advance game in Australia. It's a real piece of crap, but the one level of it is really cool. Actually, Jared helped me with that back here on the drums, this Game Boy Advance game. I don't know. It's kind of like the, for me, we all have a different, like, very big musical background. I mean, he's got a master's degree, and these kids, I mean, they're all smart and stuff. I'm the, you know, the weakest link here, but I wanted to do film music real bad when I was young, and then about 5 or 6 years ago, I got the chance to do it, and I hate it. So I'll always be a fan, but I'm too much of a control freak, I think, to write for a specific medium, I think. William composes on his own, chamber stuff and guitar stuff, of course, and then Tim writes his own music and plays with other bands and stuff, and Kunal writes music, and you did some films too, right? Yeah, he did some. He, I guess you actually like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes it. So he likes doing indie films. Jared is actually a pop star. He's plays piano and writes his own songs, and he does that most of the time, actually, playing piano and singing. You can buy his album on iTunes. And yeah, so we all come from different places like that. But I mean, it would be awesome if some really cool company like Nintendo would ask us to do something. You know, be like, hey, you already know all of our music. Why don't you do a Super Smash version of you guys? So yeah, I guess I've done it. I guess I'm the only one that's done it, but well, it'll probably be the last time too. We got two more here, and we're gonna kind of blaze through them, and then any more questions, and sell you a shirt. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone have any more questions? Okay, well, let's give the 1UPS one more big hand. Thanks a lot for coming, guys. And remember, you can catch them again, weather permitting, Monday night, 7 o'clock is their set at Top of the Park. So thanks for coming, guys. Please be sure to fill out an evaluation for us. Summerfest has got one. There's a blue one back here, too, especially to let us know how you heard about this event. And they'll be out there at the merch table in just a minute.